All right, good evening, everybody. Got a Bible, I hope. Three of you have a Bible, okay. Oh, more than three have a Bible. Oh, Addie's got hers too. Four. There we go. Just messing with you. Let's turn to the book of Hosea. That's kind of a hard one to find. So if you can find Isaiah, go to the right. Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, and there it is. Hosea. Go to chapter 8. I normally kind of do a little bit of both. Usually I do verse by verse and do expository, and this is going to be a topical message. So we're going to read a verse here in Hosea that will kick us off to some other places in the Bible. I hope this will be a fun message for us, because the Bible is a fun book. I will be honest with you, when I was a teenager, I really didn't think that was the case. And you know why I didn't think that was the case? Anybody want to guess? I never read it. It sat on the shelf most of the time. When you start really digging in, reading your Bible, it is not a boring book. Now, there's boring parts of the Bible, and it's okay to say that. Every bit of the Bible is important. Is that true? Every word is pure. Every word is true. Some parts are more exciting than others. It's okay to say that. It's all important, and there's something to learn no matter where you go, something to apply. But once you start reading it, you will see it is absolutely fascinating. So we'll look at some, what I would call some fascinating things. Your Bible's going to call them something different here. So let's see what it says. Look at Hosea 8, verse 12. This is the Lord is rebuking Israel, and he actually gets down here to a little rebuke on Ephraim. And if you look at verse 12, here's what he says. I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. So I look at this book that I have, and I consider it to be great. But to 99% of the world, you know what it is? Strange. And if you believe a book that the world thinks is strange, then the world thinks that you are strange. And you know what? That's actually true. What are we on this earth? Strangers and pilgrims. So if they want to say that, that's okay. So what I would like to do here this evening is go through some things in the Bible that are strange but true. And I would say, let's stay biblical here, they may seem strange, but they are actually great things. So let's pray, ask the Lord to help us, and then we'll dive in here and have some fun tonight. Lord, thank you for your words and the great things that you've written to us. I pray that you would direct our study tonight and that you would be glorified. And we ask that you, as only you can do, would give us understanding of your words. I don't want to get in the way of your message going forth. And I pray that you would take these words, we'd believe them, we would apply them, and we would just even once again realize exactly how important they are for us in this day we live in. And we just ask that the name of Jesus Christ be exalted tonight. We pray this in his name. Amen. So when I was a kid, I had a book that I thought was absolutely fascinating. Its title was The Giant Book of Strange But True Sports Stories. I love that book. Now, I cannot recall a lot of the things in that book, but I remember reading that it came out in 76. I probably got that when I was 10, 11 years old. One of my favorite books as a kid. I'm going to read you one of the stories from the book, and the story is called Ghost Team. So here's the story. Now, remember, this is a strange story, but it is true. So here's the story. During a football season, newspapers and wire services depend on people calling in to tell them the scores of games played between small colleges. And back then, there was no other way to get results. Back in the 80s, the glory days, right? Before the internet, had to use the telephone. So what they would do is they would print the scores of these games from these small colleges in the Sunday sports pages. So back in 1941, the New York Times received a call from a man identifying himself as Jerry Croydon. He said that he was the publicity director for Plainfield Teachers College in New Jersey. Croydon said that undefeated Plainfield Teachers College had just beaten Ingersoll 13-0. It was their third straight win. Previous teams they had defeated were Winona 27-0 and Randolph Tech 35-0. Have you heard of any of these schools, by the way? Yeah. Small colleges. Croydon also called in the score to a Philadelphia newspaper. That was the beginning of a series of news stories. After Plainfield's fourth victory in a row, Croydon began to send in stories about the team's players. The star halfback, name was John Chung, had scored 57 of the team's 98 points. Chung's accomplishments were written in the New York Post. So now you got multiple newspapers that have this information. It's going out, a lot of people are reading. Next, Plainfield added two more wins, against one against Chesterton and one against Scott. These were colleges. John Chung was running wild, averaging 9.3 yards per carry, and Jerry Croydon reported that Chung seemed to get his power from eating plates of rice at halftime over the football games. Suddenly, Plainfield Teachers College stopped playing football right in the middle of the season. Future games with Appalachian Tech and Harmony Teachers College were canceled. Croydon explained that the team had disbanded due to players flunking out at midterm. So the November 17th issue of Time magazine had another reason why the games were canceled. It was because they were never scheduled in the first place. In fact, there was no such place as Plainfield Teachers College. There were no colleges called Ingersoll or Harmony or Scott or any of the schools Plainfield had supposedly beaten. The whole thing was a hoax. Finally, Caswell Adams, who was a sports writer at the time for the New York Herald Tribune, discovered that Plainfield Teachers College and its star halfback John Chung were invented by a stockbroker named Morris Neuberger. And Neuberger and his friends had taken turns playing the role of Jerry Croydon. There was no such person as Jerry Croydon. They pretended like they were him. They just wanted to have a little fun, so they made up a college, a winning football team at the college. They made up a few opponents' names, and they made up a great running back named John Chung, who never even existed. Strange but true sports stories. Now, that's tricky because that never happened, but it was reported in the newspapers as happening. So the story obviously was a false report that went out in these newspapers, and there was no such college, no such football team, all that stuff. It was all made up and passed off as true and made the New York Times. Okay, why do I bring that up? You have a book in front of you, if you have a Bible, that contains truth. Would you agree with that? I don't think you'd be at church here tonight if you didn't think so. But some people claim that's just what? A bunch of made-up stuff. And I will tell you, every time you open this book, you have a decision to make. Every time. I've been reading the Bible for years, and still, every day, every time I open the book, I have a major decision to make, and so do you. Am I going to believe that this is true, or am I going to say, that is strange, that is unbelievable, therefore I will not believe it? I'm faced with that every time I read certain accounts in the Bible, and I'm going to show you a few tonight. The great things written by God in His Word are considered by a lot of people to be strange. Now, it's okay to think something to be... I want to make sure I clear this up. It's okay to think something to be strange and still believe it is true. So that's a disclaimer, because I'm going to read you some things tonight, and we will probably all, if we're just being straight up honest, will say, that's strange. But it's true. So I'm reading you some things tonight, and you've seen these before probably. They are very strange, but they are 100% true. So let me start by showing you how important it is to just simply believe the Bible, even if it seems to be strange. Go to Luke 24. Start over here in Luke. So this is after Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. I always get a chuckle out of reading this account. You'll see why here as we read. You ever find the Bible humorous? There are some hilarious parts of the Bible. I'll show you this one here. The Lord Jesus Christ he's been crucified, buried, and now he's alive. He's actually going to have a conversation with a couple of fellas, and he's going to play dumb. And he's going to act like he didn't know what was going on. And he's going to get them to tell him what was happening, even though he knew, but he's just kind of playing dumb. So if you go down here to verse 19, this is Jesus. He said unto them, what things? They had told him that some things had been happening in Jerusalem. And he says, well, what things? So look what they tell him. Now this is Jesus. He knows all this, but he asked, so they're going to tell him. And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. Now, who are they talking to? They're talking to Jesus of Nazareth, but they don't recognize him. So, look at verse 20. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. So there's their account. And what they said there was what they knew to be true about what happened. Now you want to look at verse 25. It's very important. This is going to kind of kick us off for where we're going. Verse 25, the Lord starts to tell them something. He responds to them. Then he said unto them, oh, what's he call them? The Lord calls these guys what? Look how come he calls them fools. Oh, fools, and slow of heart to what? Believe all that the prophets have spoken. Hey, why did the Lord call these men fools? Anybody? Help me out here. He rebukes them for not doing what? Believing. Believing what? The Old Testament prophecies concerning who? Jesus Christ. Let's go on here. Verse 26. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So that you read verse 27, you might want to make a note in your Bible. Verse 27 is Jesus Christ preaching on Jesus Christ from the Old Testament. Would you like to have heard that? You think he might have brought up the serpent on the pole in the Old Testament? I mean, he could have, right? And he could have said, hey, that's a picture of what I did for you on the cross. So many things he could have brought up there. He could have said, hey, remember over there where Abraham offered up Isaac, his only begotten son, it says in Hebrews? He said, that's a picture of what I did for you. Anyway, I'd love to have heard that sermon, but Jesus rebukes them for not believing. If you go on down there, he leaves them. So let's look at this. Pick it up in verse 30. And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were open and they knew him. And he, what did he do? Did you know that word was in your Bible? Vanish. You thought that was a word in science fiction films, huh? That's in your Bible. Now look at that. He vanished out of their sight. Okay, I'm going to ask you a question. You can answer honestly. It's okay. Have you ever seen anybody vanish? I've seen somebody walk away. I've never seen anybody disappear right in front of me. It sure does sound like that's exactly what happened. He's there. He's not there. All right? So this is going to kick us off into the first point here. With that in mind, and the Lord vanishes, if you keep going here, look what happens in 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while, watch this right here, while he opened to us the scriptures. Folks, who is it that opens the scriptures to you for understanding's sake? Who is it? It's the Lord. You've got to know Jesus Christ in order for the Holy Spirit to open the Scriptures to you. So it's the Lord is the key to open the Scriptures. Now look at verse 33. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with him, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And if you go to 36, verse 36, and as they thus spake, who's there? Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. And he's not there, and then, boom, suddenly he's there. So here's first point tonight, and I'll show you another example of this. Strange but true, the power to transport. This is a strange thing, would you agree? I have never seen anybody disappear, appear somewhere else. Let me show you another one. It's fun stuff right here, folks. Watch this one. Go to Acts chapter 8. You're in Luke, go to Acts, a couple books over. Acts chapter 8. Now, you really want to read every word of your Bible, because I know that this is an account I don't remember hearing about in Sunday school. In fact, I don't remember hearing about this. I don't think I've heard anybody ever teach on this or preach on this, but it's in the Bible and it's really neat. It actually goes along with what we just read. So go to Acts chapter 26. This is the account of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Y'all remember this? Now, you probably remember the account, but there's a little detail here at the end that's really, really neat. In fact, it's kind of strange. But just because it's strange doesn't mean we're not going to believe it. It's strange but true. So let's look at, go to verse 26 and you'll find out something here, and then we'll go on down. 8:26. Yeah, Acts chapter 8, verse 26. We'll start there and then we'll go down a few verses. Acts 8:26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto where? You want to note that. Gaza. Unto Gaza, which is desert. And if you look there in verse 27, he goes. Okay, let's make sure we get this. Where did the Lord tell Philip to go? Gaza. Did he go? Yes, he did. While he's there, guess who he meets up with? Actually, he's there and going along, and he meets up with the Ethiopian eunuch. And I'm not going to go through this account. This is a great account here where this Ethiopian eunuch gets saved. And then he gets baptized, which is the order, right? You get saved first, then you get baptized. And here's a little detail of the story that a lot of people just, they don't catch this, but it's really neat. If you look down there at verse 38, this is where he baptizes him. Verse 38. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. When they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Sounds kind of like what we saw in Luke 24. What happened over there? Jesus is there with those two fellas. He's gone somewhere else. What happens here? Let's keep reading. At the end there it says, the Spirit of the Lord caught him away, and the eunuch saw him no more. Now look at verse 40. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Where was Philip in verse 26, folks? Gaza. Now, if you go to verse 36, it says, "And as they went on their way." So he might have actually been talking to the eunuch while they're traveling. So they may have gone a little ways. Where does he end up in verse 40? Azotus. So I did the work for you. I looked it up. I wanted to find out how far it was from Gaza to Azotus. And anybody want to guess? It's about 20 miles. You just Google it, didn't you? You got a note in your Bible, okay? Better than Google, right? You got a note in your Bible. About 20 miles. Now, hold on a second. Did you see what just happened? Philip is talking to this eunuch, and then the Lord catches him away, and suddenly, how far away is he? Some 20 miles away. Power to transport. You ever see anybody do that? Now, I've been on a plane. I bet most of you have. It's a great thing. Man, wouldn't it be a great thing to hop on a plane tomorrow instead of drive? How long would it take you? 2.5 hours? Something like that? 2.5 hours on a plane versus 18 hours in the car. Folks, that's still a lot longer than it would take in these cases here for somebody to go from what? I mean, boom, they're there. Just like that. Now, can we have some fun here? I'm speculating. I can't prove this, but think about something. The Lord was in his glorified body when he rose from the dead, wasn't he? And he vanished, didn't he? What are you going to have one day if you're saved? Glorified body. You wonder, don't you? We have the ability in that glorified body to be in Titusville And then I don't have to get in my car. I'm in Vieira, where I live, or where I did live. Have a better home than that one day, right? Amen. So isn't that something? Something to think about. You read Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, it says that we're going to have a body like Jesus Christ's glorious body. What did he do in that body? Okay, you said the word. That's the popular word here, but teleports. And I wonder if Zuckerberg can do that, James. What do you think? What do you think? Probably working on it, or Elon Musk working on it. Hey, no man with tech, I don't care how much technology they've got, they can't do this. This is the power of God, folks. Now, that's strange, but it's true, isn't it? And that's a great thing. Now, Don hit on this just a little bit this morning. Let's go take a look at something else when it comes to transport. 1 Thessalonians 4. He was there this morning. Guess what's going to happen one day, folks? You are going to travel faster than any SpaceX capsule, faster than any... It doesn't matter what man does in the next 10, 20 years, they're not going to be able to make something that can transport you as fast as what's going to happen here in the future. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4. Look at verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Watch the wording here in verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Remember, Philip was caught away. Here it says caught up. And it says to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. If you do some cross-referencing, 1 Corinthians 15, it tells you that this will happen how fast? In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. From here up there. Faster than a speeding bullet, right? Folks, it's strange, but it's true. It's in your Bible, and if you're saved, are you anticipating the day where you no longer have to walk on this garbage heap we live on? Amen? And to live somewhere much better than where we live right now? Amen? The way that God's going to do that is we're going to be here one moment, we're going to be there the next moment with Jesus Christ. And folks, you better get in on this, because only saved people get in on this. Amen? So, I've been on a lot of the roller coasters around the country that are great. I've gone really, really fast on them. And the sad thing about those roller coasters is you have to get off. They end and you get off. Most of them last about 30, 45 seconds. Folks, I like going fast. There's some kind of thrill about that, isn't there? You're going to be going faster than any person has ever gone at the rapture. Isn't that be something? Just like that. Pretty neat. Strange, but true. Amen? It is true. So, power to transport. Let's go to the next one here. Go back to the Old Testament. Go to Judges chapter 3. By the way, on that transport thing, before we hop over to this next one, there's a hymn that we sing. Is one of my dad's favorites. To God be the glory. Let me read you one of the verses of that hymn. Great things He hath taught us. Great things He hath done. And great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. The hymn writers knew their Bible, didn't they? They knew we were going to go, boom, transport real fast one day. All right, go to Judges chapter 3. Now, here's one of these places in the Bible that I read, and I get a little frustrated with the Lord when I read. I'm going to read one verse right here for you. I get a little frustrated with the Lord because I'm like, that's all you told us about this? There's a Christian man that recently made a movie on this one verse. And what he had to do is do a lot of speculation. And I don't like that when you do a whole lot of speculation. And this guy made a movie out of the thing. And I know that we can think about what might have happened, but we're just going to read it and say what God says actually happened. So this is the account of Shamgar. He's only mentioned two times in your Bible. Once here, and then in Judges chapter 5, he's just mentioned as being somebody who lived in the past. Not really any details about his life. But look at Judges 3, last verse of Judges 3. Go to verse 31, right before chapter 4. Judges 3, 31. Now watch this one. And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines, how many men? 600 men. What did he use? An ox goad. and he also delivered Israel. Now you want to take a look at that verse again. One man, a man named Shamgar, slew 600 Philistines, not with a sword, not with a knife, but with a what? Ox goad. You say, what in the world is an ox goad? It's a farming tool. It's a long stick with a pointed end that they would use to spur or guide livestock. This is quite a feat, wouldn't you say? Do you think, let me ask you, here's a test, see if you passed or not. Do you think that Shamgar really killed 600 Philistines? Come on! Well, let me put it in perspective for you. United States Marine, former United States Marine, Charles Benjamin Chuck Mahoney, he was born in 1949, holds the Marine Corps record for most confirmed sniper kills, having recorded 103 confirmed kills and 216 probable kills in 16 months. All right, let's say that the probables actually happened. So he killed, let's say he killed over 200. Folks, that's one of the most decorated snipers in United States military history. He killed, let's say he killed 200 men. How many Shamgar killed? That's three times the amount. Do you really think that's possible? Do you really think that's possible? Here's what people like to do. By the way, yes, let me just, before I go on, yes, that's possible. And let me show you, I'll show you why in a second. Here's what people like to do. They like to think that Shamgar, in one shot, killed 600 men in like a half a second. I wouldn't say that was impossible, by the way, for him to do that. But we don't really have any details. This could have happened over several days or several months. It could have been in his lifetime. I don't know how it happened, but I do know this. Shamgar killed 600 men with an ox goad. Amen? And there's no way to get around that, because where's it written, folks? It's in your Bible. Now, let's get a little practical application here. Go to Luke chapter 1, and then I'm going to show you something that will hopefully help you. Luke chapter 1. Do you really think it was possible for Shamgar to do that? I certainly do. I believe it was possible. Strange, but true. Look at Luke 1:37. This is the account of the angel telling Mary that she's going to give birth to Jesus Christ. Look at Luke 1:37. For with God, nothing shall be what? All right, so you could go over to Luke 18, and it says over there, the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. Folks, I can't tell you how it all happened with Shamgar. I do know this. Shamgar's a real man. Shamgar really did kill 600 Philistines with an ox goat. I don't know if it all happened at one time or not. I just know that he killed 600 men with an ox goad. Now, let me give you something practical here with Shamgar that will hopefully help you. Keep in mind, Shamgar overcame the enemies, and he did it in incredible fashion, and he did it in unusual fashion with an ox goad. And remember that he could have done that with the power of God, because nothing's impossible with the Lord. Let's get something practical for us. You got any enemies, by the way? And I'm not talking about flesh and blood either. You got some enemies. Go to 1 John. 1 John. If Shamgar did that, don't you think that we, as saved people, might have the ability with the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, to overcome our enemies? What do you think? Yeah, I think so. Let me prove this to you. Go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John. Shamgar overcame the enemy. He did it, obviously, with the Lord's help. Look at 1 John 5. Look at verse 4. 1 John 5, 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the what? Hey folks, has the world been pressing down on you lately? Folks, the world's always pressing down on you. The more you align yourself with Jesus Christ, the more the world's going to press against you and down on you. What does that verse say right there? It says, whatsoever is born of God. Are you born of God? If you've been saved, you've been born of God. You've been born again. What does it say right there? Whatsoever is born of God does what? Overcometh the world. You say, how? Look at it. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. What is it? Even our faith. How can you be victorious over the world, the flesh, and the devil? How do you do that? You ask for the Lord to help you overcome them. Because guess what? I've been saved a long time. Pastor has been saved a lot longer than I have. Brother Mac, Ms. Mark have been saved a long time. You can't do it no matter how long you've been saved. You can't. It's not like you keep getting more strength to do it. You've got to continually lean on Jesus Christ to do it, to overcome these enemies. Look at verse 5. Look at 5. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that, what's the key word? Believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Hey, if you are saved, you have the ability through Jesus Christ to overcome your enemies. Amen? And to do what may seem to be impossible. With God, it can be overcome. You mean you got 600 enemies? You could defeat them like Shamgar? With the Lord's help? Amen, you could. Hey, let me show you a verse. Go back a chapter. Go to chapter 4. 1 John 4. 1 John 4, 4. When you think of Shamgar, think about how he did an incredible thing against the enemies of Israel, overcoming them. And remember that through Jesus Christ, you can overcome the enemies you've got. The world, the flesh, the devil. Look at verse 4. 1 John 4, 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have what? Overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is where? Hey, is Jesus Christ stronger than any enemy you could come up against? All right, you know what the problem is a lot of times? I'll be honest, this is my problem. I oftentimes just try to take it myself instead of leaning on the Lord to take care of them. And you know what happens 10 times out of 10 when I try to defeat my enemies on my own? And I'm talking about spiritual enemies here. Whether it be lust, whether it be pride, whether it be gluttony, whether it be laziness, whether it be running your mouth about somebody or something, I can't self-discipline myself. I can't discipline myself enough to do any of those things. I've got to continually lean on Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I in my flesh can't do this, but I know that you are stronger in my flesh and you can do this. Help me do it. Help me overcome. And be encouraged by a guy like Shamgar. By the way, read through the book of Judges. There's some weird guys, and there's a woman in there too. She's actually probably the least strange of them all. Deborah. It's like God to do that, make the same person in the whole book a woman. And what are those judges able to do? What do? They're able to defeat the enemies of Israel over and over when they do what? When they trust God to overcome their enemies. How are you going to overcome your enemies? You're going to have to trust God. You're going to have to believe that what God said is true. You're going to have to continually lean on Him to do that. Okay, last one here. That's two down. Let's go one more. Go to Luke chapter 5. So, power to transport. Second one, I don't know if I said it, but power to overcome your enemies. And I haven't specified here. I know I mentioned it, but folks, your enemies, according to Ephesians 6, are not flesh and blood. Our enemies are not the Mormons and the Church of Christ or any of it. I understand in some ways you say, oh, there are enemies. Folks, those are people that are deceived, that need to be told the truth. And they're being used by the devil, absolutely. But the world, the flesh, and the devil are our enemies. And they, man, I tell you, they come at you just constantly. They're always coming at you. And the only way you're going to overcome them is by trusting in the Lord. I'll stop on this for a second. You overcoming your enemies has a whole lot to do with your prayer life. You know that? How's your prayer life? You don't need to answer out loud, but if you've got a good prayer life, you're talking to the Lord throughout the day. You don't have to spend an hour in the morning on your knees. Now, you want to do that? That's great. But you're talking to the Lord throughout the day, and you're asking the Lord throughout the day, Lord, I got this attitude right now. I need you to stop this attitude. It's going to come out of my mouth. It's going to hurt somebody. Lord, I want to look at something I shouldn't. I want to listen to something I shouldn't. Help me to overcome that. Lord, how about this? And I struggle with this, and I'm sure you do too. Our food. Boy, it sure is tempting, especially with all this stuff back here, isn't it? Sure is tempting to eat a whole lot more than you need, isn't it? And I know us Baptists were really good about preaching out against drunkenness, but you know what else is a sin? And I may look like a skinny guy, but you know what? I have to be very careful about gluttony. I'm telling you. Doesn't matter. Your weight has nothing to do with being a glutton or not. Now, it could have something, don't get me wrong, but a skinny guy can be a glutton. In fact, the skinny guy's got to really watch it, right, Brandon? Because we can eat a whole lot, and our metabolism's high, but it doesn't make it right. So I say that because that's the thing that a lot of people don't like to talk about. I tell you, a lot of reason why a lot of people are not surviving this virus is because of their health. Folks, God gave you a body, didn't He? We're supposed to do that body. It's a temple of the Holy Ghost, isn't it? Therefore, glorify God in your spirit and your body, because they belong to Him. 1 Corinthians 6, right? Are you glad I'm done with that part? Hey, we need to hear that. I need to hear that if you didn't. Go to Luke chapter 5. How about the last one here? Only the Lord can help you overcome anything. Only the Lord can do that. Look at Luke chapter 5. So this is the account here where this man is brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a really neat story right here. Great, great example of teamwork. If you look at verse 17, Luke 5, 17. Came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. When they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up on the housetop and let him down to the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. By the way, I think this is a great example of, here's some fellas that will do whatever it takes to get their friend to Jesus Christ. James talked about, just briefly there, about witnessing this morning. What lengths would you go to get somebody to Jesus Christ? To tell them about Jesus Christ so they can know him. These guys went to great lengths to do that, just to get this guy right there with them. So watch what happens here. Verse 20. When he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? I always have to chuckle when I read that. Those Pharisees say at the end of that verse, Who can forgive sins but God alone? Now, are they right? Who can forgive sins, folks? Only God. Who's right in front of them? God in the flesh. Isn't that something? They're right. They just missed out on the fact that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh, and He's right there. Look what happens here. Go to verse 22. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, He answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts, whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Now watch verse 26 here. This is what I want to get to. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. What did they see? They saw a miracle. That's right, Brother Patrick. They saw a miracle of healing. Here's something that we can't miss. They also missed, if you look there at verse 20, Jesus Christ says, Man, thy sins are what? You know it's a miracle? The fact that God would forgive me of my sins. Or anybody of their sins. But He will do that through Jesus Christ, and only through Jesus Christ. Folks, that's a miracle, isn't it? Isn't it interesting that they call this holy event, they say, these are strange things. I think it's a great thing to have my sins forgiven. How about you? It's considered right here to be a strange thing. Now, I'd spend a little bit more time on this if we had time. I kind of, on purpose tonight, did reverse order of the things that we covered here. I ended with a situation where a man is healed and forgiven of his sins. By the way, you got any spiritual problems? Anybody here? Can I raise my hand? I got spiritual problems, man. Now, the Lord does not guarantee He will heal your physical infirmities in the church age, right? He doesn't guarantee that. Now, I've seen Him do it through prayer. But you know what He will do? He will heal you spiritually. Amen? You got any spiritual issues? Give them to the Lord. You know one of his titles, one of his many titles, one that I really like, the Great Physician. And that's what he is. And he will heal your spiritual issues that you got, and he'll forgive you your sins. And only he can do that. So I went kind of in reverse order. Let me go from reverse to beginning here, and let's see if we can kind of make some application here. Last point here was power to heal and forgive. And I just ask you a question here. Have you experienced the power of forgiveness through Jesus Christ? Isn't that a great thing? Hey, if you ever get to the place in your life where you really don't think it's that big of a deal anymore, your spiritual temperature is probably way low. What do you think? And you know what the Lord would rather you be? He said he'd rather you be hot, right? Be on fire. So I'll tell you the best way to get warm. Get close to the words of God. Take them in, and you'll find the Lord has a way of raising your spiritual temperature whenever you spend some time with Him. You know, one of the many things that the Lord is in the Old Testament, not just in the Old Testament, Hebrews 13, our God is a consuming fire. How do you get warm when you're cold? Find a fire. Get closer. The closer to that fire, the faster you warm up, right? Maybe you need to get a little closer to the Lord so you're close to the fire so you get warmed up. If you're cold, you will get to the place where you take your salvation for granted. You won't really think it's that big of a deal. Folks, it's the greatest deal of all time. It cost you nothing. And you got the greatest gift that could ever be received. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? So there's the first thing. Now, if you're saved, here's the second point, power to overcome. If you're saved, you have the power to overcome sin. Now, you're about to launch out. We leave here. I mean, before you even walk out of that door, you're going to be just bombarded by worldly things. What are you going to do? You're just going to allow them to bombard you? Or are you going to put your armor on? You need it. You know what you need? You know what I need every day? All day? I need the helmet of salvation. Protect my mind. I tell you, that's the thing we really need to wear these days, isn't it? Because you know what the world's doing? They're going after your mind. Get you to try to think like they do. You know what else I need? I need that breastplate of righteousness. I need to be reminded of who I am in Christ. I need to act like I'm actually righteous. Since I am in Jesus Christ's sight, righteous because of Him. You know what else I need? How about, what's this called in your armor? What's this called? Sword of the Spirit. Now, some of you here, you have firearms. If you haven't trained with your firearms, how proficient are you in using the firearm? Maybe not good. Who knows? What do you need to do to be proficient in using the sword of the Spirit? You need to know it. You need to use it. You need to know how to use it. You need to study it, as Don mentioned this morning. Learn how to handle it so that you can use it against your enemies, your spiritual enemies. All right, last thing is our first point. Hey, you're saved. While you're down here on this earth, you got to overcome the world of flesh and devil. You can only do that through the power of Jesus Christ. Hey, while you're here, going through this world, going through this life, remember, you're going to transport one day, aren't you? Isn't that the great hope? Here we live. I was fascinated as a kid with NASA and space travel. And here, look where I live now. I've lived here for 18 years now. Actually, more than that. 19. On the space coast. And every so often, what do we get to see here on the space coast? And you have you seen one yet since you've been here? Probably saw one the other day, right? Okay. But what do you see? You get to see these spacecraft go. And we're fascinated. We say, what a great thing it is that they're able to do. I'll tell you a greater thing that will happen one day is, if you're saved, a whole lot faster than I raise my finger, right? In fact, so fast that people won't go, they'll just say, where'd they go? I don't even know if they'll miss us whenever that rolls around. Might be glad we're gone. But we'll be here one moment and gone the next. Amen. Hey, we just talked about some things here that are great things. They may seem strange, but they are true. And hey, they're great, aren't they? That encourage you to know that you got a great Savior. Amen. The world thinks He's strange. No, he's great. world thinks this book is strange. No, this book is great. Amen. Get something done for the Lord Jesus Christ this week. You're not going to do it on your own. You're only going to do it by trusting in Him. So let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for your words and just the great things we're able to see from the Scriptures tonight. Lord, as we go out from this building today, it sure is nice to be around like-minded believers, but we're going to go out because you want us to be a light in this world. And I pray that we would truly be bright and shining this week for you. I pray that we would warm ourselves up being close to you and really be on fire for you this week, ready to speak up for you, ready to overcome through the power of the Holy Ghost all the enemies that come our way. Make us like Shamgar to overcome numerous enemies with your help. And I just pray that you'd help us this week. We need your help. We're just leaning on you, Lord. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.